Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. We got a lot to talk about. My goodness, I still can't believe that we were on the air Friday when the LeBron James news broke. Like, when that happened, it's almost unreal that it's real. And I keep thinking about the Sixers in the context of all that is and all that they were and are and it can be. 34 primetime games coming up on the, you know, kind of the schedule stuff that's coming out now. I'm not surprised. They're going to be the story or one of the, you know, top two or three stories of the NBA, along with the Knicks as defending champions, Wembanyama, of course, the Thunder again. But the Sixers are right there. And that's with Miami getting Giannis. It's with Kawhi going back to the Raptors. It's with the Celtics trying to put together a team of role players around Tatum and see if they could elevate Pritchard and the coaching there. It's with a really deep league right now that the Sixers are going to be one of the favorites. It is incredible. And there's so many different tentacles to this whole thing now. You know, LeBron, is he going to play more of the point guard position? Jaylen Brown, how does he adjust his game? Maxey, will Edgecombe come off the bench? Will he definitely be a starter? You know, all of this. But the one thing I keep coming back to is Joel Embiid's future. And what is Joel Embiid's future with the Philadelphia 76ers as it pertains to this new group, the one with LeBron James? So let's start with this. There is some reporting out there that, you know, Embiid, although not active anymore and no longer out there when it comes to social media and his thoughts on the Sixers and the team and all that kind of stuff, he's kind of taken a step back, which I can appreciate. He's older now. He's got a kid. You know, I can just speak for myself. Like, I don't really tweet much anymore. I mean, I'll tweet show stuff and I'll put a link to the podcast or the newsletter, or I will share all the clips that WIP makes of the midday show and anything that pertains to that. I'll share it all. But I'm not out there throwing all my takes on Twitter. I don't care. I don't have the time for it. I don't have the need for it. To me, it doesn't really impact anything. It's just a place to talk and yell about sports. But I do that for 20 hours a week on the radio. I have a newsletter. I have a podcast. I have plenty of ways that I can express my thoughts on all these teams and all these subjects, and it's more in a way where I think you could hear it properly. So, and understand my tone. So I don't really care for that much anymore. And so I can appreciate that from Joel Embiid, but it was notable, at least, because he still has a face of the franchise, that he was pretty quiet during everything. So there was an assumption maybe he wasn't into this, they were going to trade him, blah, blah, blah. You know, there was the stories out there, LeBron wanted to play with AD, and maybe he didn't want to play with Joel. Well, he's here now, and Joel was part of the recruiting. So my first instinct is, because of the way the story evolved, and LeBron signed here with Joel still here, Joel was part of the recruiting, I do think the Sixers and LeBron are going to give this the old college try. I believe the season will start, and I believe they will play it with Joel Embiid on the team. But I am not confident that Joel Embiid... Well, I'm not confident Joel Embiid will be here past the trade deadline. And I am skeptical Joel Embiid will play the majority or the entirety of LeBron James's two-year deal with the Sixers with him. He feels like the piece of this puzzle that doesn't work. You know, Tyrese Maxey is a scoring guard, could work anywhere. VJ Edgecombe is going to be the dirty work, defender, you know, throw to him open in the corner, run the fast break. He could score his 14 to 16 points running the fast break every night. Almost like a young Iguodala. He doesn't need the ball in his hands. He doesn't need any special treatment. He's very easy for LeBron James to use. Jaylen Brown obviously is the best combination they have right now of pedigree, prime age, chip on his shoulder, all that stuff. And he's coming off a year where he finished sixth in NBA MVP voting. Now, there's going to be a little bit of redundancy between James and Brown on the offensive end. But, you know, obviously James is a better passer. It could be a facilitator more than Brown. But I think they'll figure that out. It's almost like when he and Wade figured it out. I think that's what Brown and James will do. They'll figure it out. Embiid feels like the hard part to figure out and the hard part to understand how this is going to seamlessly work. Because in theory, what Joel Embiid could bring to the table if he applies himself could be perfect, because he could be a rim runner, he could be a defender, he could be the things that this team obviously needs, rim protection. If he applies himself and his body is where it needs to be, he could transform his game back to what it was in the beginning. I've always said there's a parallel that I see between the careers and the games of Patrick Ewing and Joel Embiid. Patrick Ewing came into the NBA as a defensive stalwart, a great young defensive center, shot blocker. I mean, the comparisons for Ewing were Bill Russell, excuse me, rebounder, defender, anchor. And Patrick Ewing evolved to an offensive player, more than a defensive player, as he got older. He put on a little bit of weight. He was a little bit less spry, a little bit less bouncy, and more of a jump shooter, and more of a feathery touch offensive player. And his defense really came from effort and his size and his length, not his athleticism as he got older. And Joel Embiid's been the same thing. Now, Joel Embiid did it at a higher level in terms of scoring, in terms of efficiency, in terms of winning a league MVP. Ewing never did any of those things. But I think there's similarities. And I do think if there was a three-point line back when Patrick Ewing was playing, just like all those guys, he would have done that too. Just, you know, he had that shot in the corner, baseline, almost like behind the basket, where he would hit that jump shot. And I think Joel Embiid would have, or Ewing would have done similar things like Embiid does. Now, that all being said, they evolved. And the question is, could Joel Embiid turn the clock back and find a way to go back to what he used to be for the good of this team? This team doesn't need Joel Embiid scoring. They really don't. I mean, if you told me right now that Joel Embiid morphed back to being that young defense, I understand that his body's not the same and he can't jump as high and all that kind of stuff. But if he could turn the clock back and become that defensive player and his game on offense was limited and he was a rim runner and he wasn't much of a shooter, would you take that? I would take it in a million years. He would anchor the defense. He would be there. He would salve all wounds that they have at the point guard position, that they have with LeBron at his age defensively. I mean, he'd be perfect. I don't anticipate that. I think, the cat's out of the bag on that, you know, the horse's out of the barn. You know, I don't think you go back at his age and where his body is to being that player. Now, you can apply yourself and give all your energy to defense and give what you have. I think that is possible. I doubt it. And I think the biggest problem with this Sixers roster, not that there's many problems, they should win a lot of basketball games, it could be for the NBA championship, but the biggest conundrum with the Sixers roster is where are they getting that player and how are they going to fit these five together the right way so they don't get rocked on defense? You go back to the Eastern Conference semifinal against the New York Knicks. I mean, the Knicks attacked. They abused Joel Embiid. And I realize he rolled an ankle or whatever. He's coming off the Bennick surgery. It is who he is. He can't move. He cannot move on the defensive end the way he used to. So when you think about it and you think about how they attacked him, the Knicks will do it again. The Spurs with Harper and Fox will do it again. SGA will do it. I mean, like, if the Sixers could get to the Eastern Conference Finals or an NBA Finals, they will be attacked. They will be attacked over and over again by, you know, in pick and roll, and they're going to try to destroy Embiid. That's the way the Sixers, that will be their undoing if the starting five is an undoing. So there's a couple things the Sixers could do. They could try to separate Embiid from the pack and play more of Dean Wade minutes and see if they get some growth from their backup bigs and see if they could play that way and almost separate Embiid from the starting lineup and put Embiid more out there with an edge comb or a maxi and some pick and rolls. You could do that for the offense and then kind of take your chances on defense when he's out there. You could do that, limit the minutes and limit his time with the starters. Or, and I think this will probably be where this goes at some point, we will revisit all the conversation we had about, hey, would you do this to get LeBron here? Now, would you do it to win a championship while LeBron is here? What I mean by that is trading Joel Embiid. I do think that conversation is not going to die away. I think it will be put on the back burner. I think Embiid will start the season with the Sixers. I think the starting lineup will be the starting lineup that we've all envisioned and talked about since Friday afternoon with the Sixers team. But I do believe the Embiid conversation isn't just going to disappear. It is going to come back, and it is going to come back with a vengeance because it is an awkward fit. Whether you want to believe Scoop B. Robinson or any of these reports out there the last couple weeks, you just use your eyes. It's an awkward fit with Joel Embiid and LeBron James. And I go back to the thought that LeBron wanted to kind of massage this or cultivate this to where Anthony Davis would be on his team. And the Warriors didn't seem interested. And I don't know how interested the Wizards are or how much they're just playing hardball. I don't know. But, you know, if we get to a point within the early part of the season where the Wizards are open to this, and maybe Anthony Davis hasn't gotten or hasn't received or hasn't signed his extension, and we're sitting there and it is December, it is January, it is early February, and clearly the Sixers have figured some things out. They're marrying all the players together. They're getting chemistry in the offensive end to a large extent, but they can't solve the defensive riddle that is Embiid. Then I think they're going to look to explore moving. And I think, you know, time is not on Embiid's side for his own personal time, you know, time in the league. But it's also not on his side for figuring this out. LeBron James has 2 years, in effect, to figure this out. Now, the Sixers could let everything ride for 1 year, including a playoff run, and see where it goes, and then make a hard decision after next year. They could do that. Or they could revisit it during the year. Like, if you told me right now, Joe, would you be shocked if over the next 8 to 12 months, Joel Embiid is traded for either Anthony Davis or a package that, you know, Miles Turner is part of, or Sabonis? I would not. I would not. Because what you may consider a downgrade in talent, you have to consider what the fit is and what the puzzle needs. And that's what the Sixers have. In other words, you're doing this reverse. Instead of building it piece by piece with the puzzle piece, the physio, they're just collecting talent and they're going to figure out how the pieces fit around each other and what needs to be added or subtracted. And if we're being real, I mean, they're very unlikely to subtract the other guys. I mean, Jalen Brown just got here. He's the, you know, probably the best player on the team right now overall at all stages of his game, right? Then you have Tyrese Maxey, who's the lead scorer and I think, you know, the most gifted shooter on the team right now. You have VJ Edgecombe, who obviously has an abundance of value, but why would you ever want to move a cheap player who doesn't need the ball in his hands on a team full of guys that need the ball in his hands? He's perfect. Like I said, a young Iguodala. And then, you know, LeBron's going to be the sun, the moon, and the stars of how this thing looks, feels, the organic nature of this basketball team. And there's Embiid. Yeah, he doesn't fit. He doesn't fit. They need a rim-running, rim-protecting, defensive rebounding center. That's what the Sixers need. And if they had that, the other four could just run. And LeBron could be the old man, Magic Johnson, slow but steady, leading up the court, and just boom, 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 boom. And everyone goes to the basket, shoots their threes, and it's a light show in that building. That's what could happen if they get the big man to anchor the defense, block the shots, rebound the basketball, and outlet. That's what they need. They need the Kevin Love. They need, you know, the Theo Ratliff. They need that guy. Love, obviously, in the rebounding outlet guy, Ratliff in the shot blocking defense guy. They need that player. That player is not this version of Joel Embiid. So, well, it's nice to think there's a fairy tale ending here where Joel Embiid finally gets his ring and gets past the second round and his story of his career changes at the end. You know, maybe a Bill Walton kind of revival or, you know, something to that effect. It's wonderful and I root for it. And I think there is a small chance, percentage chance, that he does all the things I'm suggesting and reinvents his game to be what they need. Tyson Chandler at the end, you know, with those Mavericks. But the most likely situation is they try it. It doesn't work to the perfection or the level we need. And in the next 8 to 12 months, Joel Embiid is dealt. For Anthony Davis or Miles Turner or Sabonis, or you pick your expensive big that could maybe play this role at a little bit of a higher level and the need that this franchise needs around James, around Brown, around Maxey, and around Edgecombe. That's where I'm at on Joel Embiid and how this thing looks moving forward. I do think the awkward fit is there for a reason. It's because Joel wants to be an offensive player on a team full of offensive players. They don't need that anymore. You need a second guy like Edgecombe who will do the dirty work. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. I'll be back on the midday show tomorrow, 10 a.m. Check out the podcast, of course, our newsletter, my newsletter, joe-giglio-beehiv.com. Check that all out. Got some more exciting stuff planned. Camp tomorrow, first practice. We'll be there on Thursday with the midday show. Cannot wait. We'll talk soon, as we always do, right here on WIP Daily, where you can get anywhere you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify. Download it there, subscribe, leave a review. Thanks so much for listening to WIP Daily.